The following is a presentation of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
Welcome to On the Mat. I am Kyle Klingman of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, Dan Gable Museum, joined by the Golden Unicorn, Andy Hamilton of TrackWrestling.com. We are back from Budapest.
Yes, we are.
And what a great trip it was. 2018 World Championships, more memories than we could ever squeeze into this segment that we do at the beginning of the show. But we'll try to hit some of the highlights before we get to Wayne Boyd, the creator of American Wrestling League. We're going to talk to him, and we're going to talk to 2018 world champion Jaden Cox. Great run for Jaden.
Awesome. Yeah, I think from the moment we got there, Kyle, and we stepped into that practice gymnasium and sat down next to him. I don't know if you were standing there or not nearby, but... I asked Jaden, I said, are you ready to win a world title next week? And he says, I'm ready right now. And he was like, pretty much like, you know, my day can't come soon enough. And you think back to where he was a year ago in Paris, and what, by all accounts, a really tough weight cut for him. And we did not see the Jaden Cox in Paris that we saw in Rio the year before until later in the day. I think... really, the bronze medal match is when we saw him getting back to form. And 92 kilos really suits him well. And he looked fabulous throughout the tournament. Even, you know, the days leading up to it. I think it really didn't come as a surprise to me. And I probably the same to you, just from watching him work out, the energy and the enthusiasm and the attitude that he had going into the tournament.
I think watching him, and I think two things that led me to believe that he had a true chance at winning the world championship is that Mark Perry doesn't give praise real easily, and he was pretty high on him after that training camp. He said Jaden is special. He was talking about his skill set, that it was unique. It's unlike any he had seen. So for Mark Perry to say something like that, that says a lot. And then Kevin Jackson, his day-to-day coach, just said, Jaden's looking good, isn't he? And he sees him day-to-day. So I think there were two pieces of information along with seeing him work out that really led probably both of us to believe that he was going to be on top of the heap at the end of this. And he was just next to impossible to get in on. I mean, his defense is just spectacular. And then when you do try to shoot, it just opens up a slew of mistakes that could happen, because he is like a gyroscope. He just, what are you going to do with that beast? And you saw that even in the finals, that guy was not going to shoot. And when it did happen, bad things happened for your opponent. So Jaden Cox certainly was one of the highlights of this world championship. And really glad we get a chance to pick his brain on his championship run. Because really, when you think back to what he's done, bronze during college, bronze at the world championships the next year, now a world title, three medals in a row for a guy that was maybe questioning even going into freestyle. Really a special run that we've seen with Jaden Cox.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way it all started with his run in Rio to a bronze there, where he didn't give up a takedown the entire tournament. You combine that with a guy that sweep single that he shoots, he can get in on a lot of people that way and finish. Just then you can take that, the athleticism, the flexibility, all of that. He's pretty much a total package. And combine that with a 92 kilogram weight class where, beginning of the year, I think probably most people would have tabbed Sagalayev as the favorite. And then he went up to take on Kyle Snyder, and then it's up for grabs. And I felt going into it like Jaden's chances were absolutely as good as anybody's at that weight.
No doubt. And as we look back on what happened at the World Championships, it starts with the men's freestyle, because that was the most successful at the World Championships. 9 days in a row, as you said, back to back to back NCAA championships. It was 3 days, 3 days, 3 days. We got through all 9 days. Men's freestyle had a solid performance. They were champions last year, runner-up finished this year with three individual champions, went up to 10 weight classes, had eight last year. Kyle Dake, David Taylor, Jaden Cox, all world champions. And it really starts and stops with David Taylor setting the tone, because he was in the first batch there, and he was our first world champion of the tournament. Had the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Starts out with Yazdani Chirati in the first round. And if you don't know who that is, that's our Olympic champion from 2016, an Olympic or a world champion in 2017. They met in the first round. And as we look back, there was nobody in the stands because they didn't let anyone in. Yeah. And so we were looking around wondering if the competition was going to even start. And it's not an exaggeration to say that across from where we were sitting, there was maybe 15 people in the stands.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I would have probably taken the under on 15.
Probably.
This is like 5 minutes before go time, right?
Yeah,
it's 10:25, yeah. And there's nobody in the arena. It was so strange.
Yeah, and so I thought when that was taking place, I thought, well, maybe they do things different international. Maybe they're going to take another 30 minutes and they're going to get started a little bit late. And then all of a sudden, here comes David Taylor walking out and nobody's there. And if you were there, you saw one of the best matches you're going to see, because Yazdani Chirati came out on fire, got a nice lead. But boy, David Taylor just showed his resilience, stayed in the match. And then that was the storyline for him the entirety. He just kept looking better every single match afterward. And capped it off with just an absolutely dominating run in the finals, Andy.
Yeah, it was incredible the way it started for him, and then it never really slowed down from that point. And you mentioned he ran the gauntlet, pretty much everybody, the who's who of 86 kilo guys, he had to run through them. And then what was it, the final score, second period, after the break, David Taylor 33-0
Yeah,
in Budapest. Incredible.
Man, I didn't even know that stat. That is unreal. And then just capped off with a tech fall in the finals.
Yeah, 9-0 in the second period after the break against Yazdani Chirati.
I mean, what was the final, 11-6, I think? Was that the final score there? Right. So David Taylor really set the tone. And then setting the tone even further, Kyle Dake in that semifinal match. You were blown away, as we all were, by that throw. How many times do you think you watched that throw that he hit for five at the end of that match?
I would guess that I watched it probably 25 times on the flight home from Budapest to Toronto, just because we had Air Canada really didn't provide us with a whole lot of entertainment.
They didn't. And,
so I didn't have a whole lot of things downloaded on Netflix, and I pulled out my laptop and had a few video clips on there, and I watched, I think I watched Dake tossing Gaji Megamedov for five there about probably 25 times at least. And then Benet Rodriguez, his five against Rashidov. And then I think I had a Benet five from the Uregan as well, where he shot that fireman's and put a guy up on his shoulders and carried him across the mat and pretty much did a cartwheel on this guy. Yeah, those are a few of the clips that got me through the hours when I wasn't sleeping on that flight home.
Well, and I don't know if it was a clip, but I know it replayed in your mind over and over and over as we talk about Kyle Dake winning a world championship. His interview afterward, his points comment was maybe your favorite soundbite of the entire 9 days.
Yeah, it was a good one. That was a really good one. We're going to go back and compile a list of them, but that was certainly near the top. And there were a few of them. There's several of them. Burroughs had four or five really good, interesting quotes. Helen Maroulis talking about, what kind of champion do I want to be? Do I want to be the one who sulks, or do I want to be the one who sits in the stands and cheers on my teammates? And I thought that was pretty enlightening and such a unique perspective. And she backed it up. It wasn't just talk. You know, we saw her in the stands and behind the scenes rooting on her teammates. So those were good ones.
And make sure, I want to interject, if you haven't read your story called A Tale of Two Champions, contrasting Adeline Gray and Helen Maroulis, do yourself a favor, read that. It was just insightful, in-depth, and it was just comparing and contrasting Adeline Gray, who's on top of the world again after missing last year due to injury, 2016, didn't medal at the Olympics at all, and Helen Maroulis was on top of the world. So they kind of flip-flop in where their position is, but you saw how they handled themselves, conducted themselves, and they really are champions that deserve to be recognized. And go and read that story. I thought you did an outstanding job with that.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah. What's the best way to find that then? I know that sometimes you guys scroll through, and if you go to Track Wrestling, I want to just make sure people have an opportunity to read that article if they have not. But some of your best work.
So that one would be like day five takes.
Okay.
If you go onto Twitter and search day five takes from on the Track Wrestling account, it'll show up. It's probably the easiest way. Okay. Or to just search A Tale of Two Champions on the news thread on Track Wrestling. Yeah. You'll be able to find it there.
Take a look at that. So as we do the round table of our world champions, we've talked about David Taylor. We've talked about Jaden Cox. Talked about Kyle Dake. Adeline Gray had another great run. And boy, if you are one of her opponents, be ready for that leg lace because it is nasty. She just worked that to perfection in that final match. And it was funny because she was in her celebration and then they do the obligatory challenge. They had nothing to challenge there, but they wanted to challenge because why not? But you could see her. She just was calming herself down a little bit, maybe had to keep going, but they lost the challenge. Adeline Gray back on top of the heap after missing out in 2016 and then missing the season in 2017. She's heavyweight world champion.
Yeah, and we mentioned what a run David Taylor had through the 86-kilo gauntlet. And Adeline Gray, same thing at her weight class. Women's freestyle heavyweight class was loaded with women who have won world titles, Olympic titles, won age group world golds. Really deep and talented weight class. And, you know, she beat, she got a chance to, in the final, she rolled up Yasmin Adar from Turkey, who was the 2017 world champ, won by tech. And the thing about Adeline, she's never out of a match. Just the way that you mentioned that leg lace. She gets a chance to get to it. She can rack up a lot of points in a hurry. And she was down, what was it, in the quarterfinals?
Yeah.
Came back and won by fall.
Yeah, she was. She was in a tight match and very easily could have just let that slip away, but didn't. You just saw her resiliency, and it was almost like she just made a turn after that, a switch, and then she just went into high gear. And I think you knew after that she was not going to drop a match. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, and then she goes and beats Erica Weeb from Canada, the 2016 Olympic gold medalist, beat her 3-1 in the semis. So as I mentioned, it wasn't. It's not like Adeline got any gimmies anywhere along the way.
Not at all. As we go back, I know we like to compare and contrast, and everything's real when it's fresh, and you can go right back to it. But in reality, that day two of the competition, when David Taylor won, when Jordan Burroughs came back and got a bronze medal, when Nick Gwizdowski got a bronze medal, when Joe Colon got the bronze medal, it was just... The evening session was near perfection. I don't know that I've had a day in wrestling where I felt better about the sport and just what I witnessed than that day two of the competition. It was just a high. You went home buzzing. You went back to your hotel buzzing. Jordan Burroughs was on top of the world talking about his bronze medal. You saw him in the hotel. He was just getting mobbed with pictures. It was just the highlight day of the competition.
For sure. It felt a little bit like the final day in Paris. Of course, that wasn't the culmination of the event, and there's still more to come. And Russia really wrestled lights out from that point forward. They didn't lose another match the rest of the tournament, and it looked like the United States was ready to take the tournament over and win its second straight world title, unprecedented for the U.S.
Yeah,
but the Russians didn't let that happen. But to your point, Kyle, it was unbelievable. It was a tidal wave of momentum they had going at that point, and. You know, think about like the moments that occurred along the way there where they got on such a great run and in Dake having that 13-0 win. And you start thinking, man, as the points start adding up, like, man, this might really happen here. And it didn't like that was the only time in the tournament where it really felt that way, because the first day the U.S. had some, you know, the head-to-head that Burroughs lost to Sitikov in the final second there. And the head-to-heads were going Russia's way up until 86 kilos, and until that night, right, when Taylor won the gold and Dake beat Gaji Magomedov. Taylor had won the semifinal where he came back from down, what was it, like 5-1, something like that, against Karugliev.
Yep.
Chikayev holding off Stieber at 65 kilos and Sitikov beating Burroughs at 74. Russia was winning a lot of the tough, hard-fought head-to-heads, and it didn't seem like the way things were playing out that the U.S. was going to be in the mix to win it all until that night. And then, of course, things turned the other way at the end the last couple of days. But Man, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. 7 medals for the U.S. men's freestyle team. That's second only to the medal production from 1987 when they had 8 medals. So just across the board, solid performance. Best 1-2 back-to-back seasons. They've never had a first place followed by a second place. So really an unprecedented run for the men's freestyle team. The women's team placing 3rd. You do that without any points from Helen Maroulis. And no Allie Reagan, a returning silver medalist. That's a solid performance. I don't think I would have thought they would have gotten 3rd place without those two factors coming into the 2018 Worlds.
Well, and I guess the thing that really put it in perspective for me was when I started adding up some points afterward. And looking at the team comparison, and the U.S. finished in women's freestyle with 103 points. Japan was first with 154. So U.S. had to make up 51 points to share the championship with Japan. And it's always kind of seemed here recently like Japan's just been out of reach. I don't know how you feel, but that's the way it's felt to me. And
for sure.
Especially when you take two iconic superstars like Yoshida and Icho out, and then you replace them, not at those weight classes, but you replace them in the lineup with 2 18-year-olds who win right out of the gate, win world golds, and now they've won as 19-year-olds as well in Haruna Okuno and Yui Sasaki. So they replaced 2 legends with perhaps 2 legends in the making. So Japan really hasn't lost any steam. And yet, the U.S., if Helen is 2017 Helen, and she scores 25 points, which certainly you expect her to do the way that she's competed the previous 3 years. And Allie Reagan is Allie Reagan of 2016 and 2017, a world silver medalist. There you have 45 points right there. And Jakara Winchester was half a second from being in the finals. And so there's 10 more points. There's your 55 points. Yeah. The United States walks away with a world title. So, yeah, they're hypotheticals, they're what ifs, but none of them are all that big of a reach.
Like, yeah.
Those 3 things very easily could have happened. And we're not just talking about Jakara. There's some other matches in there. Tamara Mensah-Stock could have been the world champion this year. I don't think that that's a stretch to say. She lost on a clock point to Kumba LaRoque, who was controlling the final until she got ankle laced and couldn't stop that.
Forrest
Molinari could have been on the stand as well. Several things that could have gone the United States way there where they wrestled a really good tournament, but it could have been a lot better.
Yeah, and boy, the one that stung me the most, Sarah Hildebrandt, we're both fans of hers. I thought she was going to win that finals match. She had a 7-6 match earlier that year. I thought she could turn the corner the way she was going. Got teched, but just some big upside with her. She's a world silver medalist. I just think she's on the right track. She's hungry. I think she has the right supporting cast around her. She's going to be a star if she's not already.
Great story, too. And we detailed it when we had her on as a guest on this podcast before. And I wrote a piece about it earlier in the summer about all the sacrifices that she made because her career wasn't playing out the way she thought it would and the way it could. And looked herself in the mirror after having a dislocated elbow a year ago in the World Team Trials Finals and gave her a lot of time to reflect and look inward. And she made some pretty significant changes and was rewarded for those changes. And then to me, one of the great stories of this tournament for the U.S. as well was Mallory Velty. And she lost first round a year ago. She got beat in the first match of the best of 3 against Kayla Miracle in Final X, came back and won 2 tough matches there. And we saw her take it to another level there in Budapest. The offense that she was displaying, she was transitioning from takedowns to turns. Seemed like every time that she got a point, every time she scored, she was scoring 4 at a time or 6 at a time, just with transitions into turns. And made one mistake. She fought a cradle or fought a position, got it locked in a cradle and pinned. Otherwise, she was pretty outstanding throughout from start to finish throughout the tournament.
2nd place finish for the men's freestyle, 3rd for the women's freestyle. Different story for the Greco-Roman side of things. We had some highlights out of Adam Kuhn, pinned his way to the finals and then got teched in the finals, but just an admirable run given his season. Makes the finals of every single thing he was in this year, made the finals of the NCAA championships, freestyle Greco U.S. Open finals, freestyle Greco World Team Trials finals, and then makes the finals of the World Championships. Nice run for him, but the story of the Greco was not what happened on the mat. It was what was happening off the mat. Some interviews, I think we were following close what each Greco-Roman athlete was going to say after Jesse Thilke's interview. He just talked about being worn out, questioned the process, questioned the training camp. And then we just saw patterns of what other guys were saying on their own. And I think a lot of guys believed in the system. Some of the guys said we had different styles of training, whether it's Sam Hazewinkle saying I'm a college coach, Matt Lindland let me do what I needed to do. So the drama there outside of Adam Kuhn getting to the finals looking really good was just not the best performance, but what the guys were saying off the mat.
Yeah, it certainly became a story. It became a line of questioning too, right?
Yeah, you know, you with wondered, everyone.
Yeah, you wondered from that point forward because Jesse was one of the first guys to talk in the tournament, and you wondered, is this something that everybody feels? Is he on his own here? And I think by the end of it, it felt more like he was kind of on his own with those feelings,
like,
right?
Yeah, it sure did. It felt like everyone, without asking direct about it, I think the line of questioning always was after he said that was, how was training camp? Because we wanted to know what they were going to say organically. And they just said it was good. A lot of people took ownership and said, I just wasn't ready. So it was just an interesting storyline as you built on that to see what people were going to say. And Giangelo Hancock being one of the guys, he wore himself out in the warmups. He just said he got himself ready too soon, had to take a nap actually before he went out and competed. And it looked that way. I think we were both high on him thinking that he could be one of those guys that maybe he's not winning it, but you thought he was going to be competitive and win a couple matches. And just didn't happen in that first round match, didn't get pulled back through, and he was out of the tournament.
You said it too. You came back to me on press row and said, Hancock's back there warmed up. And this is long before he was set to go out there.
You 90 said, minutes before.
You said, like, this guy's frothing at the mouth right now. He's ready to get let loose from the cage.
Yeah. And then I saw him in the elevator and he was disclosing it, and it all made sense because it's like, wow, he's not up yet. He's in trouble because you can only be at a high level so long, and he had to come down at some point. He did, and it showed, and he said that in his interview. He just said that he warmed up too much, too early, and he just wasn't paying attention to when he was going to be out there and lost.
Can't have those mistakes.
Yeah,
right?
And it was he was a medal hopeful. He was looking good this season, and he was the guy that was saying, I did my own training. I trained with the international guys and I have my own system, and he was going to go all in on it. And it didn't work out for him, but I still think he can be a star. I still think he can be the guy there. And Kamal Bey can be a star. I still think he can be the guy. And he showed it in the first couple matches, because if you aren't ready to go with Kamal Bey, he will light you up. He
for
will
sure.
make you look silly.
He'll throw you across the gym.
He will.
And he did.
He did. I mean, everyone, if they don't
he had
know.
A five. He had a five in the first six seconds of his first match of the tournament.
And you want to talk about a true human being deer in the headlights, you go watch that first round match. That guy just was just like, what's going on here? So he is. I don't know if you remember that the 30 for 30, the Bo Nose. What, is that what it was called? Bo Nose? Or,
might have been.
Yeah.
Bo was awesome.
Yeah,
Bo Jackson was the man.
George Brett, if you remember him, he played for the Royals.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Come on.
I don't know if you know him.
I'm kidding with you. He said, every time Bo Jackson came to the plate, wherever I was, I made sure I came out and I watched his at-bat. That's the same way I feel about Kamal Bey.
Oh, yeah.
Because you just don't know what's going to happen. He will make you have some entertainment. Win or lose, there's going to be something that's going to happen.
Yeah, he's electrifying, and not just watch his match, but you got to watch every second of every match with him, because you look down for a split second, and I was guilty of this in Slovakia, and the next thing I know, his opponent is turned into a 77 kilogram projectile.
It was, man. He is just a lightning rod. I don't, whatever terms we want to use. What's your powder keg? That's your term. I'm going to use powder keg.
He is a powder keg.
He is a powder keg. And boy, when it explodes, it explodes. So do yourself a favor on that. Go watch some of his matches because you will not be disappointed in Kamal Bey. Let's end this. You got any final thoughts before we get to our guests?
Just an awesome trip.
It was a lot of fun.
Glad to have you on the trip.
And thank you, John Broughton, too, on the video
side of things. You guys did great stuff for us. It's awesome having you over there. Just a ton of great memories on and off the mat. Yeah. The laundromat story is something I'll never forget.
Yeah. What a weird ordeal.
For the people that didn't see us on Facebook Live, we had quite an experience at the laundromat. You want to tell that one, Kyle?
Well, we needed to do laundry. We were there 13 days, and so things get a little ripe, and you just need some fresh clothes. And so we went out to a place called Bubbles, and there was one guy in there. We walk in. It was a 24-hour laundromat.
Allegedly.
And we started doing our laundry, and we have everything in the dryer, and all of a sudden, the lights shut off. And here we are in the dark. Well, you had went out already, and you tried to get back in, and the door was locked.
I knew we were in trouble then. Yeah. I knew that something wasn't quite adding up when it's 24-hour laundromat, and I can't get in the front door.
And good thing I was inside. Good thing we both didn't go out, because the other guy had left, and so I let you back in, and then the lights go out. And so we can't see a thing, and so there's this dryer going. It's one of these industrial dryers. We had everything poured into there. And we open it, and usually when you open a dryer, it shuts off. And so it didn't shut off, and then there was a start-stop button. Well, that didn't work either, so we're grabbing our clothes hand by hand.
Catching them as it's going out.
And we got everything out of there eventually, but what an ordeal.
You're in there in a black coat and a black stocking cap. That didn't look suspicious at all. And I have a beard. With a phone.
Phone, full beard.
With a phone shining the light, we're trying to find our way around.
And all we can imagine is that we're on Hungarian TV on some sort of world's funniest videos because they had to have caught that on camera and we had to have looked ridiculous. So I'm glad we don't
live there.
We got to
see if we can get the security footage from them.
We should try to attain that. Yeah, that would be interesting to see. So hopefully they don't have sound on that. Hopefully it's just without sound. But great trip. Like I said, I'm still not off it yet. I'm still not coming down. I'm still buzzing from it. I'm tired, but it was so memorable, so much fun. I wouldn't change anything. Every moment, even when you're tired, I wouldn't have wanted to be anywhere else. It was awesome. So anyone that wants to go to an international world championships, find a way to get there. It's worth every moment.
Absolutely.
So our first guest is a 3-time NCAA wrestling champion for the University of Missouri, 4-time All-American there. And then you know what he did? He got a bronze medal at the Olympic Games in college in 2016, got another bronze medal in 2017. And this year, we're going to call him a world champion. Jaden Cox, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. I'm still trying to get used to being called a world champion, but I enjoy it. So I'm feeling really good.
30 people from the United States get to say that. 30 people get to say, I was a freestyle world champion in men's freestyle. What does it feel like for you now that we get to say that about your name?
I mean, it's awesome. You know, it's a great accomplishment. It's something that I've worked really hard for. It's something that I take a lot of pride in. You know, I'm usually a guy that picks things up really quick, you know, like when I got to college, you know, I had success really early on. Even in the international stage for where I was, I still had success starting off there. So getting to this point and knowing where I want to get to and having a couple times to fail getting there and then finally getting there and pushing through, it's an awesome feeling. It's amazing. But I definitely knew I put in the work and made the adjustments in my life to accomplish it.
How much did moving up in weight class help?
I don't think it helped. I don't really think it helped anything because I think it was nice, don't get me wrong, because, you know, it's nice being at 202. It's more of a natural weight for me. It's an easy weight for me to make. I wouldn't even count it as really a cut for me to even be there. I think, you know, more so tightening things up on my technique. I think having a more constant training schedule, you know, things like that are why I moved out to Colorado and had KJ in my corner and had him coaching me up and everything and making me work on things. He really made me work on my weaknesses, maybe work on things that maybe I wouldn't have worked on in other places.
Bringing up Kevin Jackson, a three-time world and Olympic champion himself. He's the developmental coach. You're really the guy out there for the developmental system. Take us through the steps that Kevin Jackson did to get you to this point, because Kevin Jackson, before the tournament, pulled us to the side and said, boy, Jaden's looking good. I would think that Kevin Jackson has a big hand in how you got to the next level.
Well, I think one thing is, he made sure, like I already mentioned, that I was going to work on my weaknesses. I was going to work on everything. I think that was a big thing. He made sure that I wasn't complacent or anything. And also, I think another thing he did really well was also build me up. I sometimes tend to kind of dial down or put down my abilities at times because I don't want to be arrogant or seem cocky at all. But there's a point where I think I do it to the point where I'm actually putting myself down and that hinders me. And so he did a really great job of helping me balance that out and having that confidence in myself. And he makes coming to the room fun. I mean, he makes his energy level. I mean, his demeanor. I mean, he makes you want to come in the room every day. Like you don't have to think about it. You know, he's like, all right, you're going to be here at this time in the morning, this time. Like you want to be in there, want to get in there. You want to be grinding. You want to be getting ready. And so it's really awesome. And and plus he's really good at working with me as far as, feedback and also taking what I'm telling him. Very, communicates a lot. And it just helped me, boost myself to the next level. I mean, there's a lot of things that he did for me while I was out here. And, I think a big thing was just be a constant because I moved, I left Missouri. A lot of things were changing for me. So for him to have my back and stick with me and just continue to help me grow and continue to be someone I could rely on through all the changes, it meant the world to me.
Another person who was on your team to get you to this was Kyven Gadson. He was your training partner. What was it about Kyven that's fun to be around and brought the best out of you?
Well, I think one thing is, when you have a training partner, I want someone who truly has my back. And if they truly have your back, then in any aspect of the training, they got you. You know, whether it's, I need you to come in for one more workout, whether it's, I just need somebody to talk to. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, he truly has my back. He's a great person. He's easy. He's someone that I enjoy hanging around, talking with. And it's just somebody that I've really gotten to connect with over the couple of years that we've been on this international road together. So, I mean, it was pretty easy to pick out who I wanted to be my partner when going to the world. So, I mean, he's an all around great guy, great wrestler. There was nothing that I had to worry about or anything. I just knew that I knew what I was getting with Kyven, and I just knew that it was going to be great. And he was a great partner for everything on the mat, off the mat. He was just all around awesome for the run.
And listening to your interviews over the years, whether it was college or international, one of the concepts, one of the themes I've heard you talk about is just doors opening for you. And you just have said, hey, here's a door. I'm going to walk through it. Do you feel like the wrestling door is going to be the door you're going to walk through for the next 4 or 5 years?
Oh, I think so. I would think that wrestling is definitely the door I'm going to go through. I mean, I've never lost my passion or my love for the sport, and until that happens, I think wrestling is going to be a door that I'm going to continue to walk through. So I don't see anything else really taking me away from that. Now that's not to say that, I still have other goals. I have things that I want to be part of outside of wrestling. But that doesn't mean that just because I have those doesn't mean that I'm going to take away from the sport that I love to do. So I definitely think for the next couple of years, for sure, wrestling is the sport for me.
Jaden, you look forward. You mentioned the next couple of years, 2 years from now, 2020, you're going to have to make a decision, 86 or 97. Where are you at with things right now with that?
Well, right now where I'm at is that one way or another, I think the biggest thing that I have to remember, and I think everyone needs to remember, is that, at least for me, it may not be like this for other people, but it's not personal, it's business. We all have goals, we all have dreams, and we all want to accomplish those things. So one way or another, when that time comes, I will have to make decisions. And when that time comes, you guys will know what decision that is. But when that time comes, I'll have to make a decision. And once I do and I've committed to that, I'm going to commit to taking whoever spot I need to. You know, I mean, it's part of what we do. And it's the sad truth. You know, I wish just like everybody else wishes that we could keep all 10 weights. I do agree we need more weights. I mean, you saw it this year. Three guys who were at 86 2 years ago are now world champions, you know? So, I mean, it's a tragedy, I think, that we don't have more weights at the same time. And the situation is what the situation is. And when that time comes, we're going to have to do what we got to do.
And looking back at who you are as a person, I think you have always brought a fresh perspective to wrestling and just the way you talk. Brian Smith has always talked about just your demeanor and who you are. When was that that you realized that you may be seeing the world different than other people? Because you're not a traditional wrestling person and just the way you talk about the sport. When do you maybe think you realized that you had a fresh perspective that others didn't have?
I think I kind of knew about it when I was younger, but I didn't really start diving into it or understanding how to express it till I got older. I think a big thing that I think about is, you know, I try to take from my own experience, but I've also witnessed a lot of things in my life. And there's the big thing that I think I've realized is that, you know, I don't look at the world from a selfish perspective. At least I try not to. You know, I always try to eliminate myself from the equation and put others first, you know, and I think that kind of helps me out. But a big thing within this, and that's just from a worldly point, but from a wrestling standpoint, I think the biggest thing I realized was that if I'm not enjoying this, I don't perform well. You know, if I don't love this sport, if I don't enjoy every aspect of it, not just the competition, or when things are easy, if I don't enjoy everything, then there's a problem. You know, wrestling, to wrestle is to struggle. You know, that's literally what that term to wrestle means. Like, it means to struggle. So if you can't embrace it and enjoy that struggle and make it into something that, you know, that you take on that challenge and you enjoy that challenge, then you got to figure some things out. And I think with having that mindset, it's allowed me to further myself in my own wrestling, but also help others further themselves, you know, to look at things from a different aspect. You know, don't look at it from this angle. If you change the angle a little bit to this way, maybe it's a little different for you. Maybe it's a little easier for you. Maybe it's a little bit more fun. So I've always preached that, and it's something that I will never stop preaching because it's the truest thing ever. Like, there are things in life that are going to be hard and that you don't want to do. And when you don't have fun doing things, it's going to fall. But when you keep enjoying what you do and who you are, and you enjoy the whole process of it, you're a dangerous person. You're a very dangerous person.
Jaden, when you are on a car ride, let's say you have an hour, 2 hour trip or however long it is, what are you thinking about? What do you do during that time when you're driving and have a time to reflect?
I probably got the radio on. Probably singing some songs. Don't really have a preference on any of them. You know, I don't really know. I just, you know, I'm usually just, you know, chill. I think about probably my day. I think about what's to come. I think about what I'm about to do. I don't know what I'm driving for an hour for, but you know, I'm just relaxed. I'm probably not thinking at all. I'm just kind of just relaxed and just thinking about music more than anything on that one. So not much, to be honest.
So living in Colorado Springs, what's your living environment look like? Do you live in a dorm? Do you have a house there? What does that look like for you?
So right now, I'm living in an apartment. I'm looking to get a house. So I'm working on that right now, actually. I'm in the process of that. But, yeah, right now I'm in an apartment, and, you know, it's really nice. It's a really nice place. I really enjoy it. The rent's a little high, but it's all good. I make plenty enough for that to be the case. And it's easy. It's only about 15 minutes, maybe a little bit less from the OTC. And it's nice just to be able to go there, get to work, and just kind of get away from it and have a little place to call my own.
Well, that Live in the Dream Metal Fund, that'll come in handy for a nice down payment.
Sure. And, you know, I'm grateful for the accomplishment and grateful for the benefits of it as well.
As far as the World Championships, you had a really good performance there. And I think about that finals match quite a bit where you were controlling the match, but it didn't look like it necessarily in the scoreboard. Then you got that late score, and it just looked like finally you were able to break this guy and just get the points you wanted. You kind of ground his head into the mat. How gratifying was it to get that takedown at the end of that finals match?
Well, I mean, it was very gratifying. You know, I felt that the call for me to give up a point was I thought that was a bad call completely. I think it was really, really bad considering that I got one call and then we start wrestling again and it's really immediately made like four or five seconds right after that. So I kind of thought that was ridiculous, especially when the other person is not, you know, engaging. Is not wrestling you back. And so it was just more so frustration in me more than anything that this guy wasn't wrestling me. And I wanted to, because my mindset was to go out there and dominate him. I wanted to win. I wanted to put on a show. I wanted to go out there and show that I deserved it. And so that was a little rough. And, you know, so I wanted that point and I got it. And, you know, the rest is history. And then afterwards, you know, I did say you didn't want to wrestle. You know, I was a little irritated, but, you know, at the end of the day, I came out, got the win. Today I'm talking to you as a world champ, so I can't complain too much.
Jayden, you look back on this year as a whole and dropped a couple matches at the World Cup. You went to the Usar Dagu and first round loss on criteria there. You didn't get a chance to come back in that tournament. But you showed up, and we talked about this earlier on the program about how confident you were coming into Budapest. What did you take away from those matches earlier in the year that helped you get ready for the World Championships?
Well, I mean, I think that what I took away was that the losses that I had really weren't that bad. You know, a few mistakes in a few areas, but nothing that we couldn't fix. I didn't feel like in any match that I got out wrestled. You know, I just think that we either had mental lapses or we just made tiny mistakes that we could clean up. Especially from like the World Cup aspect. And a couple things where it's like I had to make a decision to push a little harder and go after a little bit more. And I think from Turkey, I had to take away from that was you know, go after your scores a little bit harder. There were a couple situations where I was a little bit iffy on the reffing. We watched film and we talked about that. That kind of inspired me a little more too. Is take it out of the ref's hands, take it out of anybody's hands. Just do what you do and get the points that you want to get and go get after it. And plus, it just made me want to work that much harder. I mean, all it did was encourage me. You know, it's just like I gotta get better. You know, and that's what we did. We came back and got back to work. And it's interesting. I didn't have the greatest summer, but it didn't deter me from what my end goal was. You know, my end goal was to be the world champion. You know, so whatever my record is, whatever is going on before, it doesn't matter. This is when it matters. This is when it counts. Let's get it done here. And I think anybody who wants to achieve anything great, that's the big thing, you know. I'll do whatever it takes to get where I want to be. And sometimes the path may take you backwards, sideways, whatever. But as long as you keep your eyes on where you're trying to go and you're going through the process to get there, then at the end of the day, those matches don't matter. What matters is this moment, this time, right here on this mat, when this clock starts. My goal It's still right there in front of me. So, and plus those were early in the summer. So I knew I had time to keep getting ready.
After you won your world championship, I saw your arm in a sling. You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing great. You know, so let's, you know, my arm's no longer in a sling. I don't know if you saw, I don't know if you keep up with social media with me, but I did a video. Arm's no longer in a sling. I am going to have to sit out for a little while. That's why I had to pull out of the AWL draft. But I'll still be there, by the way. But my arm will be all right. I got to take some weeks off and do some rehab. But I should be okay. The trainers here got right to work with me and helped me out doing rehab every morning. And so I should be back here in a couple weeks. I'm going to take a little time off anyway, so it's really no bother to me.
Whenever you win a tournament, everyone thinks about the hardware you get. Of course, winning a world championship, people think about the gold medal. But I'll tell you what, the belt is cool. It says world champion on there. I got to think you're loving that belt right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I wore it the whole way home.
Did you really?
I did. I did not
That's
take
awesome.
It off. The only time I took it off was to go to security for the airport. And even then, So this one time, I'm not going to lie. So we're back in we came back. And we're going to the Chicago, and you know how when you come back from overseas, you have to go through security again, right? So I have to put my belt down. Well, I was still in the sling at the time, and so they wouldn't let me do, you know, how you would do the whole pose, put your arms up and stuff. And so they have to do like the wiping down the hands. And my belt, I see my belt at the end of the little like bucket ramp thing. And I'm like, I got to go get my belt. It's like, no, you got to stay here. I'm like, I don't think you understand. I worked really hard for that belt. I'm gonna get my belt. No one touches my belt. It's like, no, you gotta stay here. I'm not sitting here. You can watch me go get my belt. I'm getting my belt. And so I went and got my belt and I put it on. And I was like, this is mine. I worked my butt off for this, you know. So, yeah, I was protective of it, you know. So, you know, that thing is awesome.
Yeah, where is it right now? You got it in close quarters there. Where you gonna keep it so it's safe?
Oh yeah, it's here. It's in my room right now.
Okay.
I still took it. Right when I came back, I took it to Mason, who's my weight trainer here, Mason Walters, and you know, checked it out and let him check it out and everything. Got pictures of him and Brandon Stone. You know, showed it to KJ's family and his wife. It was awesome. It was great. I mean, you know, a lot of people went into this. I showed it to other developmental guys. And, you know, just to let them see it and get a taste of, hey, this is what we do this for. You know, it's like an extra motivation and, you know, let them know that they were a part of this journey as well. I didn't do this alone. You know, I didn't accomplish this without, you know, your guys' help or anyone else's help, you know. So it's awesome that I'm able to show what everyone else puts into what we do.
And you're in a great era for belts. They've even gotten better since 2015. I saw those. They're cool. But boy, I tell you what, the 2018 class of belts, I think you got the very best belts ever created in international wrestling. Those are special, man.
It looks clean, man. It looks clean. That gold to that like navy blue, it's clean look. It looks really good.
Yeah, and it says world champ. They really did it right. Really did it right. So as far as just next steps, we know you're going to take a little bit of time off, but as far as just what you do in the next couple weeks here, do you want to enjoy it? How do you make sure you just savor this a little bit? I know you got to look forward, but how do you savor this and just enjoy being a world champion?
You know, I think I've already really savored it. You know, I think just sharing the moment with the coaching and with the team, just sharing the moment with everyone involved. That was awesome. I mean, I still, you know, I just kind of reminisce sometimes on it and just, you know, kind of say to myself, man, you're a world champ. You're a world champ, Jay. It's awesome. You know, so I mean, and I said this in my interview, you know, I'm looking forward to the next one. You know, that's where I'm coming. I want another one. You know, this felt awesome, but I want to get another one. You know, I'm already making plans, making the adjustments that this is where I want to get to. You know, so I'm looking forward to it. And I think that once we go around, like, I think AWL is going to be a great event because, you know, I'm going to be there. Kyle Dake's going to be there. David Taylor's going to be there. You know, all these guys, I mean, the fans are going to get to it, still enjoy the champion, you know, right there in front of them. So I think even then I'll be able to reminisce on it at the end of the month and still enjoy it. I mean, it's still pretty awesome. Like I said, I'm still trying to get used to being called a world champ. But at the same time, I want to be called one next year. So I'm looking forward to it.
When you talk about taking a little time off, what does time off look like for you? You've been committed to this pursuit of a world title here for so long. Now that you've got some time to sit back and relax, what do you plan to do?
Well, like I said, I'm still in a rehab for my shoulder. So that's it for me. I still got to do some other things. I got more so now that the wrestling side of things is kind of settling down. It's now time to like focus on the business side of things and, you know, talking to sponsors, getting camp set up. You know, that's kind of what I'm focusing on. I mostly just like to chill out, you know, maybe play the guitar a little bit. I might even dabble in some video games. You know, a break for me is really simple. As long as I'm not on the mat, I'm having a break. So that's about it. I mean, this month, I know that I'll be back in Columbia, Missouri. I'm going home for a little bit. At the end of the month, I'm going to the AWL event. So I don't know if a break is necessarily the right word, but I won't be on the mat. That's for sure.
All right, I want you to do us a favor. I just want you to give us some real quick sound bites. I'm going to go through all nine of the Freestyle World Team members, and I just want you to tell me what you think about them. We'll start with Thomas Gilman.
Okay. Thomas Gilman is probably the most honest person that you ever meet. He's one of the nicest people that I've met. And, you know, he's just a really laid-back, cool guy. I've loved being on the two teams I've been on with him. Really awesome dude.
All right, Joe Colon.
Joe Colon, once again, another really nice guy. He's got ice in his veins, you know, to figure out that you're going to the world tournament that late and then, you know, and then go out and have the performance that he did. I mean, he just showed how great of a wrestler he is, both physically and mentally. Awesome guy. Love him to death.
Logan Stieber.
Logan Stieber, one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet.
Really?
One of the funniest dudes. Yeah, he's pretty funny, you know, and he's really chilled, really laid back. I don't actually get to hang out with him as much because, mainly we're usually wrestling on different days all the time, but he was wrestling the same day as me this time. So this year I really got to, you know, talk to him and everything. But when we hang out off the mat, like I kid you not, probably the funniest dude.
All right. Who is James Green?
James Green is like one of the most interesting. He doesn't really talk that much. But when he does, it's either like really like wise or it's funny. So, but he's also a cool dude as well. So, I'm trying to get to know James a little bit more, but from what I know, that's what I can tell you.
All right. King Jordan Burroughs.
Jordan Burroughs. He's probably one of the wisest guys I know. He's a great leader. He's a great motivator. I mean, when we talk about looking for a guy to look up to or to follow in their footsteps, Jordan Burroughs is definitely a guy that you have to put at the top of your list in every aspect of life, you know, for us, as far as a father figure, a champion, even with adversity, being someone who can bounce back. He's definitely someone that you can look to come to about any and every situation.
Kyle Day,
still to this day, still one of my favorite wrestlers. Awesome individual. He's really smart, really, really smart. I remember I tried to talk with him about, he likes to sit out in the sun a lot, and he wears these orange glasses or his screen's orange on his phone. I have to ask him every time what it's about because the words he uses sometimes are too confusing for me to comprehend. But, you know, still one of my favorite wrestlers. Love to watch him go out there and do what he does when he opens up. You know, all around good guy.
David Taylor.
So, you know, a great teammate to be around. I mean, I remember in Budapest, you know, he was motivating me through the whole tournament. You know, he was talking about, you know, hey, you know, with this guy, here's what's going on here, you know, here's what you need to do. Even before my finals match, you know, I was really amped up and he came over and he was talking with me. So he's an awesome teammate. You know, I think people like him are the reason why Penn State has been so dominant through the years because, I mean, he's an all-around great leader. And he was helping me out throughout the whole entire world talking. We joke around sometimes. chilling out. I actually had to text him today, I think it was, or yesterday, about me pulling out AWL. All around, great dude as well.
Or I'm not going to skip this guy, Jaden Cox.
Oh, man, that's just beautiful. That's just a beautiful man right there. He's good looking. He's a really good guy. You know, good looking, you know. He's an 11 out of 10 right there. All around, there's not much you can go wrong with him. You know, but
I've heard that.
You know, he's pretty cool.
All right. Kyle Snyder.
Kyle Snyder. Once again, you know, someone that you can literally, you know, come to about a lot of things. He's experienced everything with the experience I've had. A tough wrestler, an even better person off the mat, easy to talk to. Has a kind heart. And he's just an all-around great guy. I mean, there's nothing really bad I can say about him. I love working out with him in the practice room. I mean, most of our practice consists of us more so talking than wrestling. We try to talk through positions and everything, and he's really open and willing. I think what's amazing is, you know, at his age, you know, he's younger than me, actually. So with the success he's had, that any of it's ever gone to his head, or that he doesn't shun people or put people down. He actually embraces people and tries to bring other people up. And I think that's a testament to how he carries himself, how he carries his faith on his shoulder. I think he's an amazing all-around person.
The Gwiz, Nick Gwizdowski.
Cool dude. Nick has great taste in music. I went and trained with him in NC State actually earlier in the summer, before the hurricane hit North Carolina. I had to get out there earlier, though, but has great taste in music. Funny dude, easy guy to talk to, great guy to just chill with and hang out with. We were roommates actually in Paris, which was horrible because we're two of the bigger guys, and this room in Paris is like, it's so small, all right? It's so ridiculously small. And like, I remember I think it was like the first day we're there, the windows open inward, so they take up more room, and Gliss was like bending over to pick something up. And he comes, tries to bring his head up and just whacks his head on this window sill. And it was just terrible. But all around great guy, awesome to hang out with. Like I said, great taste in music. If you want good music choices, go to Gwiz. He's pretty cool with it.
And I just gotta throw in a bonus here. We gotta at least give a shout out to national team coach Bill Zadek. What's your take on him?
Bill Zadek is a great leader, you know, great coach. You know, I think he does a good job representing I think you can tell by his demeanor and by his way he carries himself, you know, that he has, a lot of respect for what we do, which is good because, you know, I think it helps him even have it in perspective on you know, we need or what needs to happen for us. He really, you know, I think the biggest thing with Coach Zadek that I think makes him a good coach is that he doesn't take this for granted. He talks about how it's a privilege for him to work with athletes to our caliber. And I think when you have a coach like that, that is always looking to, that doesn't take this position for granted and is always looking to better themselves, has no choice but to then, rise to that expectation and keep getting better because he's going to put you in the situation to keep evolving. So he's all around great coach, great guy. And he leads this team with honor, with respect. You know, he's been I think this year we showed that a lot with how he, you know, we had the Perry incident happen, and you know, he's very involved with being by Perry's side and by the Perry family, as well as the wrestling community and TPSA. So I mean, it's been I think that just shows the type of leader he is.
Jaden, you've had the opportunity here in the past couple of years to be in the same bracket with a couple of world and Olympic champions, Sagilayev, Yazdani Chirati. You haven't had the chance to wrestle either one of those. If we could arrange a dream matchup with one and only one of those guys, which one would you want to face and why?
Do I have to choose one?
I think so.
Okay.
Which one first? You can choose both, but which one first?
I would choose Sagilayev first, more than likely. And really, it's going to be the same reason for both of them. I mean, for me, I would like to test out, you know, these guys are seen as the well, some of two, you know, the greatest at our time right now, you know, they're seen as that. And I would like to put myself up on, you know, to test the test, you know. I mean, that's what the point of being in the sport is. That's the point of doing whatever it is that you do, is to test yourself, see how far, see how good you can be, see how far you can push yourself. That's the only reason I would do it. You know, I would love to have an opportunity. I've missed out on both 2 times, you know, and now the extra weight, they weren't in my weight. But I wouldn't mind wrestling either one of them, you know. It's just, for me, there's not going to be any benefit for me. For me, it's just about going out there, doing what I do, and putting my best foot forward. And I would love to wrestle either one of them. I think that's what's awesome about our sport. We can, you know, we can possibly even make those things happen. So I wouldn't mind doing either one. So bring them both on, and I would love to just put my foot forward and let's test it out. Let's see what happens. You know, I think they'd be pretty awesome matches.
Yeah, let's call it Battle of the Belts. How's that sound?
That sounds pretty awesome. That sounds cool. I'll take that format.
So when you go back to Colombia, are you going to wear the belt on the airplane?
Oh yeah, no, definitely. That belt is being secured around my waist. I'm not checking it. I'm not putting it in anything. And that belt's not leaving my sight.
I love it, man. Well, congratulations on that. Congratulations on the belt. It's special. You're a world champion forever. No one will ever take that away. You'll be in the record books, and we appreciate you taking the time on this program to share your experience.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. That was Jaden Cox. First time we've ever had Jaden Cox on the mat, and he did not disappoint. And I'll tell you what, if I could give any advice to you or to anyone that ever comes in contact with Jaden, is do not mess with that belt.
Do not. Absolutely
ever.
Not.
Don't. Touch it without permission, but if you get permission and he's there for a picture, then gladly, but do not think you're getting out of that arena with his belt.
Especially if you're in an airport and it's sitting there if the belt is sitting on the belt at the end of the security line, maybe watch it for him, but don't take it. Don't put a hand on it.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a world champion, man. You're talking about one of the toughest dudes on the planet. This guy would mess you up. He's a good guy, but not when you're talking about his belt. Had a lot of fun with Jaden. He's a great ambassador for this sport. He's a great representation, and very glad that we have him as our 30th world champion in men's freestyle.
Same could be said about pretty much everybody on that team, right?
Yeah.
We talked about that at length over in Budapest, that those guys are just incredible ambassadors for wrestling, not just the United States, but... And they're just such great people.
Really are. And another person that's doing a lot of great things that you probably have seen at events, maybe you didn't know who he was. You saw his glasses and wondered, who is that guy? Well, he's our next guest. Wayne Boyd was an NCAA wrestling champion and an interesting guy. I've always liked Wayne. I think he is good for the sport. I think he cares as much about this sport as anyone. He's done some great documentaries. I like him. I like his attitude. And I like what he's going to do with American Wrestling League. And I think a lot of people are saying it's about time. And track wrestling's behind it.
Yeah. And the guy has big visions. He doesn't think small. He doesn't think one step at a time. He thinks... like, he's got a grand plan here, and he's out to make wrestling a mainstream sport. He wants to make this big time. He doesn't want this to just be a big wrestling event. He wants it to be a big, big event, period.
And I think for us, I know, speaking for me, I don't think that way. I don't think you do. I think we're more of the incremental growth, and how do you get there through just slowly building yourself up to it. He wants to hit a grand slam right off the bat. I think he's just... looking at this from a vantage point of, we need this and we're going to get this. I'm 72 years old and I'm going to go to my grave going down with a professional wrestling league. That's my take on what he's going to bring to the table when we talk to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Kyle, we're recording this on Halloween. We haven't had a chance to talk about Halloween.
What do you want to talk about?
Out of the blue.
Okay.
If you were to dress up as somebody in the wrestling world, who would you dress up as?
Oh, someone in the wrestling world. That is such a good question. Who would I want it to be? I'm just going to go with my gut. The first person that popped in my head was Dan Dennis.
Really?
Yeah, I like him. I like what he brings to the table. I think I could replicate it with the beard. I don't necessarily have the height, but I could get one of those shirts and pull out his look. He would be the guy I'd want to be for Halloween.
There you go.
And you?
Who? I don't know. I think maybe the Frank Stabler.
Ooh, look.
Man. We saw those on those pictures. Like,
we didn't even talk about him on the show.
We got a little mohawk and some sunglasses. You know, I thought about it just because of the Wayne Boyd glasses. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk to Wayne about his glasses.
Yeah.
And but I got some sunglasses, a German singlet, and a German flag.
You could do it. Like, I couldn't do the Frank Stabler.
I need a mohawk.
You could get it. You just grow it out a little bit, and you'd get there. But you could look like him. You have that look to be able to do it. He's a little shorter than you.
And you go back to what we talked about in the intro. One of the favorite moments of that trip, when we talked about the laundromat. One of the other things that I will never forget, or at least I hope I don't, is the fact that we held Frank hostage, basically, in the mix zone, firing off question after question after question for about 6 minutes there. Little did we know that we were holding him there from talking to President Lalovich and Thomas Bach, the IOC.
Oh, not just the IOC president.
Yes.
The IOC president was waiting there. That moment, that was my favorite moment of the competition. It was, because of everything and just watching it and really getting into Greco, just learning about his story as we went along and seeing the fans and seeing that story build, seeing him beat a Hungarian in the finals, knowing the world was against him, seeing him win his third title in a row. And that was just euphoric. When we were there, we got him with the translator. What he had to say was outstanding. That was just a great moment of the World Championships. Among 100 great moments, that was the number one moment for me.
I think he'd still be there answering questions from us if it weren't for the fact that somebody pointed out the fact that President Lalovich and President Bach were waiting to talk to him, and we're just sitting there firing off question after question. But his stories is phenomenal.
Oh. His just fill us in real quick.
Absolutely phenomenal. So he had a falling out with the former president of his club in his hometown. Little dispute over training grounds, and was no longer allowed. My understanding is no longer allowed to use the training hall that he used. And so Frank grew up on a farm in like a small rural German community. And his dad cleaned out a cattle barn. And they put down some mats and they turned it into a training facility. So it was pretty much, it was from the sounds of it, Rocky-esque, which, you know, there's that. So he's pretty much training on his own, bringing in training partners to work out with him, but also dealt with broken ribs, a wrist problem. And you could tell like the guy was so good a year ago in Paris and had such a phenomenal tournament, and everything that he dealt with this year, he was a little bit blown away even by himself that he was able to win the tournament. He said some things in English that aren't fit for repeating on a family podcast, but they were pretty funny, and just that he couldn't believe it himself.
Yeah. What a great guy. And you look at him, he's not a physical specimen. He just looks pretty ordinary. He doesn't look cut up or ripped, but he talked about that. He said that he's the mentally toughest guy out there.
Others are stronger. Others are faster. Others are in better shape, right?
Yeah.
Is that what he said? Others have better technique.
Pretty much everything's better. Everyone's better than him, except for he's mentally the best.
And he came from behind. He erased deficits in the quarters, semis, and finals. He was down what was it? Like, oh, he was 1-1 in the semis against another world champ, Rasul Chinayev of Azerbaijan, with about 70 seconds to go. And 20 seconds later, Stabler's getting his hand raised with a tech.
Man.
It was takedown, four-pointer, game over.
Unbelievable. He was a highlight of the tournament. And we hope we have lots of highlights with the American Wrestling League. We're going to have Wayne Boyd here. Let's bring him in. Wayne Boyd. He was an NCAA wrestling champion for Temple, which unfortunately dropped the program. But you know what? He's still a legend. 1969 NCAA wrestling champion. He got a fall in the finals, which is always a special feat to have. He is the co-founder of Titan Mercury Wrestling Club and the president of American Wrestling League, AWL. Wayne Boyd, how are you?
Well, I'll tell you, life's good. I'm in Iowa. There's no better place in the world. The fan base here is unbelievable, and people love my glasses.
They do. What are they saying?
They say it goes everywhere from, wow, those are great glasses. Who are they made by? From why do you wear them? And my answer is, well, Gucci made them, and I use them to see.
I like it. I'll tell you, when I think about Wayne Boyd, I think about the second NCAA wrestling championship I ever attended, 1996 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I went to the premiere of One More Shot. I went with a guy named Gordon Hassman. He was eating a Kit Kat bar. He gave me a little piece. And that's how I first got introduced to Wayne Boyd. And here we are in 2018, and you're still promoting the sport. I love it. Thank you for that.
Well, it's an honor to promote wrestling. The greatest athletes in the world strap on their singlets and they step out there in front of thousands of people. And in America today, we can call ourselves, even though we play second in the world, we got the best wrestlers in the world. And we built that. It didn't just happen. We built it. But we've got a lot of great guys ahead of the guys. And we continue to build this sport. I started in wrestling in 1956. 2018 was my 50th consecutive NCAA championship. In a lot of ways, I've dedicated my life to wrestling, and I don't see that ending. And recently, I realized nobody's getting out alive. So I got a little time to go. I hope this new league, American Wrestling League, should change the frontier of our sport. There's two reasons why I'm doing this, and I'd like to share that with you.
Yeah, the floor is yours. Let's just take a step back and make sure people understand that there's an event at the end of this month, November 30th, in Cedar Rapids, and it's going to be the first American Wrestling League event. First of all, take us through what the American Wrestling League is and what you want to accomplish out of this inaugural event.
Well, it's a professional wrestling league, and I brought it to Iowa. We're holding the draft this Saturday at a place called the Airliner, just close to Hawkeye Arena. We're holding the event at the Cellular Center in Cedar Rapids. And the purpose of the AWL is to stabilize what we used to call amateur wrestling as professional wrestling. This is a professional wrestling league. We're putting up $120,000 in prize money. It's $10,000 a match. The two guys step on the mat. They earn $2,500 each for just showing up. The winner takes home the other $5,000. But the real drive and the purpose behind the AWL is simply to bring more mainstream media attention to our sport. They get so neglected by the mainstream media. And I'm not going to call it fake news or any of that. I'm just going to say that we haven't given them quite a reason. We go and win world titles. We play second. We put on a NCAA championship barred by none. But the mainstream media doesn't give wrestling any attention. And primarily because we've never built any stars beyond our own sport, meaning nobody outside of wrestling knows who Kyle Snyder is, and he deserves to be recognized. So we're hoping the AWL not only puts a lot of money in a lot of wrestlers' pockets, but it brings the mainstream in to see who we are. And I've got a formula for that, and I think it's going to work, but it's going to take some time. The most important thing is that we get the fan support in Iowa, come out to that meet, fill the stadium. We're viewing it on track, live. People, if you're not in Iowa, go online, watch this match. It's going to be the greatest wrestling show on earth. I'm determined to make this work, but I need the fans' support, and I appreciate what you're doing, Kyle, and Andy Hamilton. You guys work at this sport just as hard as I do.
Take us through, Wayne, when you say there's a draft, who can we get excited about? What wrestlers are we going to see at the first AWL event?
Well, I got to tell you, the world team members are a little beat up. A couple of them are injured. Jaden Cox is not going to wrestle. And what I realized when the guys, Jake and Taylor, they're going to coach, they're going to be the captains and coach each team, and they're going to be at the draft, and they're going to select who wrestles. We've got about 75 guys in the draft. And we're talking about studs. No, they're not world team members, but they're great guys. First of all, the home city or the host city that we go to put an AWL event on, they get 6 immediate drafts from local guys. So from Iowa, we're going to see Gilman. We're going to see Ramos. We're going to see Gatson. We're going to see Clark. We're going to see Sorensen. We're going to see Brooks. We're going to see a lot of good Iowa athletes. Tom and Terry Browns are very excited about this. And then the other guys, we won't know who's wrestling until 6 p.m. when the draft starts at the airliner on Saturday. And that's free on Track Wrestling, Film Live. We'll know then who the competitors are for those guys and the other, 4 weight classes. So we're going to have 20 guys on the mats, and we're going to have 2 teams, and we're probably going to pay a bonus to the winning team. And you're going to see guys like Molinaro. You're going to see possibly Green. You're going to see Oliver. You're going to see Martinez. You're going to see Derringer. But I don't control the draft. Kyle Dake will have a pick. Then David Taylor will have a pick. And they'll pick their team in the draft on the 3rd. And those are the guys that will show up on November 30th at the Cellular Center. Now, the interesting thing is we'll not only pick a wrestler, but we'll pick an alternate. So there's going to be 40 guys that actually get picked on Saturday. Only 20 of them will compete. But my thought going through this is let's do about 10 of these AWL events, and then let's formulate teams, an Ohio team, an LA team, an Iowa team, a Pennsylvania team, an Arizona team. And then let's really create a league of teams. And my ultimate vision is we develop 20 teams nationwide. We put 200 to 300 wrestlers to work that are all making money from the league, from the events. And we're really going to have a professional league that can compare to any league in the world, and I really believe we need a new league. Football's having its problems. Baseball's having its problems. There's no cleaner sport. There's no more honorable sport than wrestling. So those are the goals, and I've always set my goals high, and I've always been able to achieve my goals because I'm a guy who conceives, believes, and achieves.
Wayne, I think the draft idea is fabulous. I think it's an interesting way to drum up some interest in this event. Where did that idea originate?
Well, I think it was Don Bichotta of Scrap Life. He says, you know what, we ought to do a draft. People like drafts. And then Johnny Rugen, who works for Titan Mercury, kind of picked up on that. And then I picked up on it. I get a lot of credit for it. But, I've been doing a lot of business with Under Armour and different Nike and Cliff Keen, and everybody wants to see wrestling grow, but nobody seemed to have an idea how to make it grow. So we're just taking ideas from people and we're actually put them in the works. AWL is open to anybody that wants to bring their gear to that arena, any company. I'm not doing exclusives. The doors are open, and I want everybody involved, because I'm billing this as the greatest wrestling show on earth, and it's going to be fun. We're going to introduce all the former Iowa greats of all time. You'll get to meet and mingle with them. We're honoring Mike Durow, the great Iowa tough wrestler who passed away from brain cancer. We're raising money for brain cancer. Chuck Yeagla's there with his Light the Night leukemia program. We've all lost friends to cancer. We want to pin cancer. And we want to do an event that people don't forget. And this is just the beginning. But there's no better place to start than Iowa. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree with that, Wayne, wholeheartedly. This is the epicenter, and I applaud you for doing it in a place that's close to Iowa City. It's close to Waterloo, close to Ames. It's a great spot. But going back to what you said, if you're open to anyone competing, does that mean we're going to see a Wayne Boyd come back?
Well, I've got a 65-year-old man out there that can compete with anybody at 65 kilos. And as we go down the road, you'll see spectacular things like that. You know, my concept for AWL really was sounded when I was on a plane flying somewhere to a wrestling event, and I watched the P.T. Barnum movie. And I said, why can't we do that with wrestling? Here's a guy that had an idea, and he went out and he put together a show that was like none other. I'm changing the rules a little bit. We're going to go 12-point tech. I was even thinking about paying $100 a point. We've got different stuff going to happen. It's going to be international rules, 2-3-minute periods, because we never want to take away from our grand ideas in wrestling and the things we really want to achieve, which is our world championships and our Olympic championships. So the AWL is going to contribute to that and add to these guys' skills, get them used to being in front of big audiences, cameras, what to do. You know, when a guy starts making money, all of a sudden it can change it. So we got to be careful to keep our guys focused on their real dreams, which are world and Olympic medals. But at the same time, these guys have homes, they have cars, they have children. Wrestlers deserve to be paid every time they step on a mat.
Let's make sure we promote this properly. I want to make sure everyone listening has an opportunity to learn about it, to get information. My understanding is you have a website, AmericanWrestling.org. Is that correct, Wayne?
That's correct.
Okay. You can follow it on Twitter, AWL Today, at AWL Today. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. How about Instagram, Facebook? Do you have all of those links that we can follow to get updates?
All that's working. I think if you go to Instagram and you type in American Wrestling, it's really American_Wrestling_League. But if you type in American Wrestling, we've made a lot of noise. All the guys in the draft will pop up. If you've got a phone there, just take a look at that. Just go to Instagram and type in American Wrestling and look at what's there.
Okay.
So we got over 70 guys on the draft, and they're all listed there. Come Saturday, you'll know who is in each weight class and who's available on the draft, and we'll make our selection. And by Saturday night after 6 o'clock, you'll know who's wrestling on the 30th.
Okay. And so if you want to go live to the draft, people are able to do that. So if you live in the area and you want to go, that is allowable. You're encouraging that, correct?
You mean wrestlers?
No, anyone, fans, if they want to go watch the draft this Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Get on there. I think you can comment. You can get engaged. You can get involved. I wish I had my social media person here with me. She's down sending news out right now. I was just over at ABC and Cedar Rapids. Scott Sable?
Yep, you got
Andy?
It. Yep, Scott Sable.
Is it Scott or Steve?
Scott. Steve was the NFL films guy. Still Steve Sable. You got Scott Sable and Cedar Rapids at KCRG.
Yeah, and he did a great job, and I enjoyed being interviewed by him. People are taking an interest, and we're really, really excited. But I can't emphasize enough how important it is to make this first event successful. Because once that happens, we're going to take this thing across the United States. A lot like a circus, and it's going to be fun. People are going to make money. It's going to be great competition, and we're going to establish a professional league for wrestling that has nothing to do with Hulk Hogan, thank goodness. And I love the Hulk, spent time with him, hung out with him, but that's not real wrestling. And I've told Hulk that. Of course, then he jumps up and slams the table and acts like a maniac. So you got to be careful around Hulk.
Wayne, when you've talked about making it a success, what would make this first event a success? How do you measure success with this first event?
Well, we got 6,200 seats at the Cedar Rapids Stadium, and we need to put a butt in every seat. And I'd like to see them wearing an AWL red, white, or blue T-shirt. I'd like it to be a red, white, and blue night, because I don't think there's a more pure sport in the world than wrestling. And I think American wrestling is on top of its game. I think we can control this sport for the next 2 decades with what I'm seeing right now. Our pool of athletes coming through junior highs and junior worlds and college, it's just unbelievable the talent that we have available in this country. And for us not to be number one is almost embarrassing.
You mentioned David Taylor, Kyle Dake are going to be the team captains. Are they going to be wrestling? Can they draft themselves?
You know what? I'm going to leave that up to them. They're on TV. They're being filmed live. If they decide to wrestle, but I gave the world team the night off. Gilman's in. I think Cologne is in. Daniel Dennis is making a comeback, so look out for him. He's a serious player. We saw what he did with Ramos back at the Olympic trials, and so he can be a threat to anybody. So I'm really excited that he's coming back. Well, I don't want to build this on our superstars at this time because there's too many other wrestlers out there that deserve to be recognized, that deserve to be paid, that have put their time in. And I can tell you it's going to be competitive, it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be an event you don't want to miss.
All right, you sold me. I think Andy and I are planning on attending, and we're going to do our best to make sure we get the full boat that you talked about. What'd you say, 6,200? Was that the number, 60?
6,200. That's what we're looking for, 6,200 seats to sell.
All right. Hey, before we let you go, I just got to ask, if there happened to be a mixed martial arts when Danny Hodge was competing, could you see him getting beat?
No, he'd have to learn submission, and he knew a lot of that. He trained in Japan a lot, and he knew how to bend your arm, and he could do it legally. I read about him pinning a guy from Oklahoma State one time, and all the Cowboys deny it, but he grabbed him in a wrist lock with his left hand, and he just bent the arm, and the guy went down to his knees onto his bat, and Danny never lost his footing. And he stood over and pinned him with one hand. That was one of his great feats during a collegiate match. One of the strongest, greatest human beings wrestling has ever known, Danny Hodge. Good friend of mine, co-starred with me in the movie One More Shot. Can't say enough about that good man.
Hey, we appreciate you, Wayne. Can't wait for this first event on November 30th. It is the day before the Iowa-Iowa State meet. So no reason not to get engaged in this event. You get to go to AWL one day. The next day, you get to go to Iowa-Iowa State. It's all teed up for you to be part of this historic event. Look into it. Make sure you get there. And just a little trivia here. 1969, Wayne Boyd won an NCAA championship. So did Dan Gable. Both got pins in the finals. We appreciate everything you're doing for the sport, Wayne.
Well, I appreciate you. Kyle and Andy, you're doing great. Can I say one last thing?
Of course.
Don't be surprised if I don't bring the bear out at 72 years old. I might just take him on one more time.
Wow. All right. Another reason to get there. Another reason to get there. Hey, we appreciate you, Wayne. We'll be following this close, and we'll be at the event.
I appreciate it. Stay tough. Stay healthy, and God bless you.
All right. Thanks, Wayne. Really enjoyed that segment with Wayne Boyd. I think we're all excited about the possibilities of what American Wrestling League can do for the sport. This is just the beginning. We're buzzing from the World Championships. We're going into the college wrestling season. We have the All-Star Meet coming up. We have American Wrestling League. It hasn't stopped, and it never will unless we're not on this planet. Wrestling is just nonstop, and it's just a cycle. It is for you a little bit more because you're traveling to all these, but I work at a museum, and I see people cycling through a lot, so our vantage points are different, but we're all in all the time for this sport. And for me, I'm only more motivated by it every time I'm around it, and I hope you're the same way. I know you have these long trips, and it can get very tiring, but I wouldn't have it in any other way.
For sure. And coming off the World Championships, thinking ahead to what's ahead of me here and a trip Thursday out to Denver for the All-Star Classic. I come back from that. And about 4 days later, I leave for Romania for the U23 World Championships. It's a little bit daunting.
Yeah, as it should be.
But, I get a chance to get a little rest here after we got back for a couple of days. I'm recharged and ready to go again.
Isn't that crazy? You'd kind of think it might take a week to recover from 9 days of competition, 4 days being over there. But I think that we've built up an immunity going to this World Championships that just as far as the stamina of going to the NCAA Championships, it's going to feel like child's play now. Going 3 days, that's nothing now. a one-day tournament, going to the Harold Nichols Cyclone Open or UNI Open or the Midlands is 2 days. Nah, that's nothing. We went through 9-day gauntlet of three different styles, and here we are. We're still motivated by it.
So what you're saying is when we show up for the NCAA championships, we should be so good, so strong, so focused, so energized.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You nailed exactly what I'm saying, and I want hundreds more of this. It's not going to end, and I'm just grateful to have these opportunities, and I think we're both grateful even for this podcast that we get to do. This is the highlight of my week, and I appreciate every single person that listens to this and invests their time in listening to this podcast. It is everything to me. It's what we love to do, and we're honored that you're listening.
Yeah. No Ask Andes this week, which isn't the end of the world. I was surprised we didn't get any questions from Dan G in Iowa City or Kyle K in Cedar Falls.
It took you a while to figure out who Dan G was.
I wasn't paying attention. I was just...
You heard the zone.
Because you threw me a curveball there and you buckled my knees a little bit with, I thought this Ask Andy thing was just like some wild idea that was not going to happen. And I was quite okay with it not happening.
It's happening.
And then it happens and I'm like, what am I going to get thrown my way here? So I wasn't listening to who asked the question at first. I was just listening like in my head. I'm thinking, where is he going with this? What am I going to have to face? And
but they're all legitimate questions.
They were legit questions.
That was what was great. Is
they were legit questions.
I actually had Jason Bryant ask a question. I actually had Dan Gable ask a question. I actually had myself ask a question. So those were all three legit. There actually wasn't Ask Andy. It was about the situation with Kyle Snyder and Satchelaev and wondering if that can apply to two-on-ones, if you can have a Spencer Lee, if he gets in that situation. You remember that question?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Let's bank it.
We'll bank that for another day and try to figure that out. But whoever you are, thank you for listening and keep asking questions. We've appreciated that. We'll end there. For Wayne Boyd and Andy Hamilton, I'm Kyle Klingman. You've been listening to On the Mat.
This show is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.